let's get ready to go, because this is the Chet Show. And it's going to be fun.
Oh, hang on. I'm making
on the train headed back to Indiana.
I like how you say that.
With a little cynicism, like, it may or may not be for you. I'm going to have a blast.
This is the beginning of a brand new Chad Matthew podcast. I know a lot of you have not heard me talk with so much passion before.
It's the beginning of a beautiful thing.
It's going to be an amazing friendship. It will. You're going to love me. Let's go. Oh yes, that song gets me every time, and that's why it is the intro. It is the Chad Show. I am Chad Matthew, and we have a brilliant show today. I am very excited because today I have my wondrous neighbor, who is a very active community member. She is a social worker and a volunteer, and works in many different aspects, or has worked in many different aspects in our communities. And she goes by a couple of names. We won't tell you all her all her aliases, but Kana Salam is our beautiful, wondrous, amazing, gorgeous interviewee today.
Oh, too kind. Thank you, Chad. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. How is it living next to me?
Well,
let's start there.
During the day, it involves some singing.
Some singing, yeah.
Music. Occasional dinging of the Tibetan, what are they called?
That's my yoga. That's my morning.
Sorry.
My morning yin and yang moment. We live in Elizabeth Bay. We have a really beautiful little alcove down there, Elizabeth Bay. It's kind of in the hub of everything, but it's kind of really quiet.
Secluded,
yeah,
at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're quite fortunate. We both wake up to our glorious harbour.
We do. I've been living there back there since February, and you were there. When did you move in?
September of the previous year.
September 2019. So. Yeah. The times fly when you're having fun.
Yes.
You're currently working in the social working sector.
Yes.
Is it still social worker, or is there a more of abbreviation to the role description now?
I guess yes. I'm my training is in social work. However, I'm not a frontline worker. I work behind the scenes. So I guess I work on a more strategic level.
Right. Okay. Well, that's where I want to start, because that just sounds very interesting. So frontline workers. Now, yeah. I had a quick conversation with you because I invited you on this show due to really wanted to dive into a bit of my background with social working.
Sure.
And how
your experiences.
My experiences. So working with social workers was always something that happened very frequently in my teens, mm-hmm. where I was homeless and actively searching for place to live, financial assistance, food assistance, accommodation assistance, mm-hmm. and obviously just getting some mental health, mm-hmm. and community kind of guidance. And that was kind of, and 2010, who you said you're aware of as well.
Yes.
They are an amazing community organization. They've been around for, I'm not sure of the exact years.
Yeah.
But I definitely, I was around 18, 17, so that's 20 years already. So they've been around for a very, very long time, and they helped house me. Is that frontline work?
Yeah. They would have roles that are in both positions, more operational roles where they look at, you know, the organization's strategic goals and what they're trying to achieve across the organization, and frontline caseworkers who are the caseworkers or outreach workers that meet directly with youth.
Youth or just the clients.
Yeah.
Right. And I had an amazing experience. There was so many supportive people. We drove over to here, drove here together, guys. So we've debriefed. Well, I've debriefed on this because I'm very passionate about wanting to get this started. And I am so grateful that you are here. Thank you. I really had an amazing experience. Australia is New South Wales, Sydney, Melbourne, and most big cities and even rural places have so much support.
Yeah.
Like we have such an epidemic at the moment with people who, you know, suicide, youth suicide and adult suicide and mental health illness. And it blows my mind sometimes how many people don't realize that there are so many places to reach out, and not just via the phone, like the helpline and all that sort of stuff. There is face-to-face availability everywhere.
And certainly now, especially with that younger demographic, organizations are looking at what are the best methods of reaching those that do need some support. So that means utilizing mediums like social media.
Okay. So what would that entail?
So it might be like online chat rather than, you know, physically going out to meet someone or, you know, providing counselling service over kind of that online virtual format.
I guess most people have smartphones and things as well now, so the apps are available.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the technology they're utilising and have access to. So in general, any organisation, any support service wants to meet the communities they serve where they're at and, you know, in the most accessible way to them.
Right. Because I find, like I was going to say before, that social workers have this unique kind of approach to work that everyone will get help, either if it will be guided to a resource, helping them achieve a goal, helping them achieve a connection, helping them, like there's always something that automatically is not just a vision board. It's not diving into the depths of the past and, you know, dredging up, you know, and conjuring emotions. It's about action. It's all about like making change as quickly as possible, where valuable resources for me is more action than it is kind of overly discussing the same topics over and over again with, you know, certain.
I guess that's, the foremost priority into supporting those very practical needs people have.
Yeah. So that's why I wanted to finish off with that, because then I wanted to come back to behind the scenes. So now that we've covered like what, you know, is out there and, you know, available for people to obviously go online, walk in, call up.
Yeah.
What is behind the scenes? What does that entail? What does that mean?
So
are you like a like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain? Is that the kind of scenario? Like, is there a bigger machine that gets the resources ready for those social workers?
It takes coordination, and in the first place, it's about if you're a community-based organization, it requires planning and support from the local community council and advocacy on the state government level, and it requires a scoping on what are the community needs local in terms of that location and how do we best deliver support services that do kind of meet those needs.
Right. So what do you feel is happening at the moment, like in regards to the not just your work in general, but the whole process? Because has that changed and shifted? Because obviously there's so many different needs and resources that are either being utilized, directed somewhere else, or enhanced because they're overly overwhelmed.
Yeah. Well, I guess the funding structure has changed for our industry. There's a lean towards competitive contracting, which means the state government kind of contracts out some of the services that they traditionally owned and provided for to non-government organisations. I suppose social work in its roots, or community development, started with collaboration. However, there's finite resources, so as an industry, perhaps the unfortunate thing that might be happening is there's less sharing.
Right. That's huge. That's huge. So with less sharing, does that mean between individuals, or does that mean towards city planning, to rural planning, to kind of like what does that kind of mean? Just so we have a better understanding of
what are the impacts of that?
Yeah. How can we make what's going on, and how can it be better?
Our focus is on communities and clients. So I think organizations are doing the best they can. However, it's more about feeling that pressure of keeping in-house the resources that have been allocated to you. And we have to kind of step back to our traditions and really keep that spirit of sharing alive.
It is amazing. We do all have so much in common. You know, we talk about community so briefly in conversation. And we highlight it. We all do in our own little way. There is so many ways that we all really impact each other. It really goes to show that when you're just saying, you know, that resources can be fruitful or they can be divided, and it all comes back to how every part of resource is allocated, given, projected, created, I guess, you know, that those platforms are created, because they don't just come from thin air.
No.
I said to you on the car over was I wanted to know what it was like, what it felt like to be a person who works in a very emotional state, always being a pillar of strength, basically, you know, someone who's relied on to be helpful. Not to be counterproductive, but always be productive. Like, there must be a lot of strain in your industry to hear things like, oh, we're getting less resources, but we still have the same amount of people.
More demand.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I was trying to get that all out, but you know what I'm trying to say? Because
yes,
there's such a lot there.
Just before we go into that, I suppose I would like to say that, referring to what we just spoke about, it's not to say that organizations don't collaborate. That's vital in our sector and our industry. There's excellent work that has been done with organizations coming together, the greater advocacy work that happens off that.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem that there just happens to be more and more people each year. Just on the planet.
Yeah,
not just necessarily with needs and issues, but just with
globally,
population.
I suppose the trend towards, you know, the disparity between those that have and have not, there's a greater gap, so, which increases vulnerability and, you know.
Yeah.
But in terms of the demand on a personal level that social work brings, that's where self-care becomes very important. For longevity in this industry, you do have to really set in place good self-care strategies. And
is this a touchy subject?
No.
No? Okay, good.
I think
good.
It's something that you have to be.
Because do you talk about it between each other, like your colleagues and stuff, when you are feeling a bit strained, or is there
of course,
you do?
Of course.
Oh,
and
good.
And I think it's vital.
Yeah.
And hopefully in your workplace you.
Well, it's helpful, isn't it? I mean, you know, you're all in the same boat, literally.
That's right. And to kind of have that professional supervision to always kind of grow professionally, to learn from your peers, you know, what do they do? How do they take care of themselves and in turn take care of the communities they serve?
Yeah. Because I know from our conversations and movie times and beach runs and everything, you're a deep thinker. You're a person who takes a lot of time to. Not a lot of time, but you love to process.
Yeah.
It's not like a very quick in and out situation for you.
Mm.
So I know that when you're involved in a conversation or in helping someone, because I know you had someone that you were assisting during COVID. I think we've all had lots of people that we've all been assisting during COVID. You are a deep thinker. I love talking to you. The things I leave this woman with to think about.
Why, thank you.
Some of the things that I've left you, I've actually spoke about on the show.
Right.
One of the first things that you reminded me, and you do remind me of a lot, is what the one of the first things that I spoke about, and that was where you are is where you can start.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has a lot of relevance right here, right now, coming and speaking with someone who may be able to help or assist you in the social working realm or in the community or a friend, family, or just getting started.
I think it's particularly relevant now as well. I think COVID, you know, many people have unfortunately lost employment, and we attach our identity somewhat with our careers, our professional lives, and, you know, that's been shaken up for some people. And
did you forget the point you were making?
I did. Sorry.
Because I just had a drink of water and I think you were watching me drink the water because you wanted some. If you want some water, have a sip of water, Connor. I really think that people love to feel good. People love to be rewarded. People love to be validated. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with patting your own back and rewarding yourself there. And, you know, back to the conversation that I was having with you, now that you're less thirst up.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. It's okay. We're not live. If we were live, I'd just make more fun of you. Are you enjoying being here?
Yeah. I think any time that you're given an opportunity to reflect on what you do, it's fantastic.
Yeah, because I've been having lots of conversations lately about what I want to do with this show, you know. Yeah. Like we were talking, I was talking with Martin, who you met just now, the producer of these shows, and I was like, oh, you know, are we doing series and episodes and da-da-da-da? There's all these so many different formats.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I've kept saying, even when I've come and spoke to you, it's like I want it to be a conversation. I want it to be community. I don't want it to be so quote unquote perfect. I want there to be rough edges because I want there to be room to grow. If you try and perfect someone when you're just getting started, do you know what I mean? You leave yourself very little oxygen.
Mm.
It's like you're taking all the oxygen out of the room and you've got less to grow. I remember doing music and recording for once upon a time in Canada. Oh, I made you watch that video, didn't I? Do you remember the video?
Oh, I do.
Yeah. Once you put in, I know we're off topic, but this is just a little light moment.
Yeah.
And so I started doing this, you know, creating music, and it was like once you started putting things into the song, couldn't take them back out.
I think you had said that you felt like that particular kind of music clip, you discovered parts of you that you didn't know existed, and you were quite emotionally invested in that.
Yeah, it was so weird.
Am I remembering correctly?
Yeah. Because the whole thing like legitimately came to me while I was walking to a job. Remember I said to you, I was walking past this place in Vancouver, in Canada, and it was like this voice had come to me, my own voice had said to me, you know, you're going to sing The Voice. And I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, because I'm in a million things go through my head a day.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, okay. And then it just kept coming back and back and back. It was so strange. I woke up at 3 a.m. in the morning one day, and this name.
As you do.
Yeah. This name, Murray Yates, had just come into my head.
Right.
And so I went onto my iPad at the time, and I looked it up, and I was lying in bed. And no word of a lie, three blocks up from me was a producer named Murray Yates who was giving discounts to new people doing music.
Just quietly, that's very Chad. That's a very Chad thing to happen.
And it just, well, it was so weird. Anyway, let me tell you guys, and you, let me tell you guys, by the time I'd got there to sing this first song, I had every possible problem with my voice. I had apparently laryngitis, you know, I had everything. It was like a bag of cats. It was horrendous. I thought he was trying to sabotage me by giving me like the version.
The cat?
No, because I recorded the day that we met, and then he sent me back the what we recorded so yes. I could hear myself. And it was so terrible. It was so bad.
Look, I cringe at my voice on a voicemail.
No, this was like another level of cringe. This was like, you are trying to destroy my soul. That's what it was like, because it was so terrible. Anyway, I came back another day. He'd like, goes, you know, come back, you know, it's going to be good. And lo and behold, I had an empowerment moment, because he believed enough for me to want to try again. He actually encouraged it. He said, come back. He was like, and I was like, I sound terrible. And he goes, no, you've got something there. You know, you're very nervous.
Sure.
And I said, oh, I'm extremely nervous. I wasn't lying about that. Like I was, yeah. And he said to me some really empowerment stuff. And the empowerment stuff wasn't the words that he used. Mm. It was that he said it with authenticity.
Yeah.
And I felt calm.
Sure.
And that room and that space, you know, I wasn't about to take on the Olympic Games anthem. You know, I was literally going there to trial something that I wanted to do. I wasn't being dragged there. Mm. This was my thing that I wanted to do in the first place. But I had turned it into, what are other people going to think of it?
Sure.
Before I'd even done it.
Sure.
Before I'd even started. I'd already made it this mammoth mission to accomplish something for everybody else. Mm. And that was what held him back. And he was like, a versed singer, sure. Artist. He writes, you know, so he was very comfortable. And he was like, I've seen more of you than you've seen of you come through those doors.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, you know, okay. All of a sudden I started singing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember the walls dropping away.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started seeing an audience that were there for me. They were rooting for me, because right. I turned the negative people
the
who
judgment.
Were putting me down mm-hmm. into a crowd of people who were actually, you know, rooting for me and egging me on.
Fantastic.
Because he'd created that environment. And I guess that's a lot of what we were talking about before with...
And it does neatly loop back into social work in a sense, because what that gentleman did for you is essentially part of what we aim to do in social work, creating those safe spaces.
Yeah.
Where people do feel comfortable and safe and can really spring board off and hopefully excel.
Yeah, no, I really glad that moment came out for us, because that was a real life moment coming out of the conversation where we were trying to take it. And there's so many of us have life experiences that we can draw from to take the next step or to offer somebody else the next step.
Sure.
You know, I love those quotes. You know, you'll see me posting those affirmations, and they're never mine. I always post other people's affirmations because
they resonate.
They resonate because that I'm a part of a community who also like to use those.
Yeah, and I certainly don't think it has to be your own words. If you find something that you connect with and has meaning to your life and your experiences, I think that can be just as
empowering.
Yeah, and important to you.
Yeah, definitely.
I do remember the point I was making.
Oh, she's remembered. See, I told you she was a deep thinker. She needs a few minutes also.
So I suppose we were talking about being able to start from where you are.
Yeah.
So I had just thought about we're all in a bit of a precarious place at the moment. Mm. And unfortunately, some people have lost their employment. And if that kind of makes up part of your identity, as it does for a lot of people, I guess with the sense of self kind of altered a bit, that notion of starting there.
Yeah.
From a new place, an uncertain place becomes important.
Yeah. And scary.
And scary. And yeah.
What you just said is exactly what I'm doing. And I love going out of the comfort zone only because most of the time it really has lifted, moved, or directed me towards positive things. It really has. Like, if I truly, like, I love that saying, every single one of us has overcome all the obstacles that we've had up until now. I love that. It's so true.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, we have. We literally have.
And that's the thing that I'm so very grateful and very fortunate to, through my professional life, even outside of my professional life, I constantly am reminded of people's resilience, and that's extremely inspiring, and it is a gift.
So before I go on more about myself, you know, sure. You're going to have a drink of water. Yeah, go for a drink of water. I want to ask you more about your, I guess, endeavors for the future in your field, or even just in your attitude towards the education and kind of growth in where you want to go. So what's your vision look like? Not devouring too much of, like, you know, your next move or anything. Just kind of like, how do you feel with what's life?
I suppose outside of my career aspirations, just generally things like this where people do feel like they can share, and for people to be supportive of each other, let people be vulnerable and not be afraid of
change, difference.
Well, yeah, or
stigma.
Even if there is fear around that, for people to be supportive of one
supportive.
Another.
Exactly.
And I think slowing down, if there are benefits to come out of COVID, it's that we've almost been forced to take a pause.
Yeah, definitely.
And rethink how, you know, the structures we have in place, and is that the best way? Perhaps I'm idealistic, but I'm hopeful that it does encourage reflection.
All right, Yetta. I joke with this one so much. I have the biggest.
What did you just call me?
Yetta. Don't worry. I get called guru by my friend.
Oh, is that? I don't know. I thought that was like
a thing,
a Greek term for grandmother.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You started going deep, and I love that. That's why I just gave you a name rather. So when we hear more from you, they'll know that it's coming from a wise mind.
I don't know about that, but
so what I was going to
take Greek grandma.
Greek grandma. Good, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that quote is perfect that I was going to bring up before, and that is, other people's success won't dampen yours. Supporting success will actually help yours. Because the more people that are doing well around you, it'll keep inspiring and build a safer environment of success. You won't be able to feel the enjoyment of your success if no one's rooting for you while it's happening. So working with successful people and being supportive of other people, even when you're not in your dream world, because there's a lot of practical work before goals and dreams take fruition. There actually is, there's a process.
You never arrive there by yourself, do we?
You do not. And that's another whole conversation. That is going to be another thing, definitely, of success. Success is coming up next for all of us. But
and,
also,
what an awfully lonely place to be where you feel like you've made it. However, no one's behind you. I feel like that's an awfully lonely place to be.
Definitely. Yeah. No, it is. So I had Sep on my the trainer I had. Sepia. He came on and he was
Sepia.
Sepia, and Machwe.
Wow. Okay.
I can't do it.
That's
right.
That's a mouthful.
I know. And he was talking about coaching, and he was really into self development and stuff as well. So
what drives him? Did he say?
I think it's his free will that drives him, his pursuit of wanting knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah,
lovely.
That's what I got out of it. I got out his free will. It wasn't a battle him against the world at all. It was about actually learning and
curiosity.
Developing and curiosity. Yeah, that's what I got from him. So he was a really awesome person to come on.
Mm.
I'm hoping to get plenty of people to come in and chat, and this will develop. There's no set in stone. At the moment, it's a conversation, get my feelers out, get a bit of my story out, because it's a big story, it's a long story, and five cities, you know, three countries. It's a lot. It's a lot to talk about, and I hope that you will definitely come on more of my shows, definitely the live ones, because we'll be closer to each other then. We'll start. We'll get Yetta back on. She can have a good yander.
I'll get the knitting ready.
You will. I thought you were doing crochet.
Well, I am attempting. I've been looking at some tutorials.
We did an IKEA run the other day.
Inching closer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit frantic.
It was a bit frantic, considering there was no one there.
Victoria's basement.
It did.
IKEA.
Oh, we
did the whole DIY.
The whole shopping network of DIY. It was fun.
This man, he's definitely experienced in it. He can tell you where to go specifically in Bunnings. It was quite impressive. Very, very
intuitive.
Just very helpful.
Oh, helpful. Okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to put words in your mouth because I thought they'd sound better, but
awful.
No.
Just the thought that always inching something in people's mouth. Sorry, that was a bit naughty.
We do go there, don't we? Oh, we'll get naughty. That's all right. I'd really like to end this segment with just some guidance even. What's the best kind of stuff or messages that you know that your whole industry would love people to kind of recognize and know that's available for them right now?
I think it's for clients or consumers, communities to always feel free to give feedback because we exist because of all of you, and a organization that's not receptive to actually listening to the voices and the feedback of people, it goes against what we're trying to achieve. So
where can they leave the feedback?
And
where can they find the best resourceful page for what they're looking for?
Any kind of organization should be able to point you to the right direction. And I guess it is the job of organizations to kind of make that process as easy as possible.
That's perfect. That's exactly what I said to you. That was my experience, and that was that every organization will make it as easy as possible to direct you.
Well, hopefully, fingers crossed that, but if not, you know, that's a gap in the way they deliver services, and it's things like that, that kind of feedback that's useful.
Great.
We just hope that they'll be receptive.
Well, you are. I'm very all for your community gift to us. Even if you are a employee of sorts, I believe that your job is very valid in our communities, and that people really do sometimes not even know how much, as you said, behind the scenes is going on to help their friends, themselves, their families, their colleagues. And there's a lot of people in our networks that have days, nights, months, weeks, years where they are receiving help, secretly or knowledgeable to others. And there is a huge part of that that you're a part of with running the back end, and also all those frontline workers who work in the sector of helping our communities. And I just think that's great.
Thank you very much. I would like to say that, you know, it's not only those that are employed in this industry, but everyone can make a contribution, whether it's something like smiling across to your neighbour, someone down the street, perhaps someone that, you know, resides or sleeps on the corner of the street, that you don't know what kind of impact that has on that person's experience or that person's life.
That is why you need to grab a grip, lift that chin up, and whatever's going on for you, know that there are people who are similar, that we are all at times in each other's space, and we got to make that space as good and as wonderful and positive as possible. So, guys, I really hope that you've had an amazing journey with us. Kana, thank you. Naomi, Yara, we have had a great time with you here today, and you're coming back to talk again. Until then, you got to live, laugh, love, laugh, and enjoy laugh. Why? Because you got to.